I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you part of the big picture here? Or anywhere? It doesn't have to be here, but, you know, it has to be somewhere. In our spiritual physical, we took a couple weeks ago, we took a look at what actions we need to take down here to properly prepare to stand alone before Christ's throne up there. Excuse me. To give an account in regard to five opportunities that were given and one life to live them. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And we talked about the fact that the first question would be something to the effect of, did you truly believe in me and thus love me above all else? You know, that seems like the obvious first question. And the second will be something like, did you truly belong to me and thus bond with my children? And that is because life is all about love. And the reason I put these two first is simply because when asked what topped his list, Jesus said, duh, love the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second, notice this line today. And the second is like it. We'll come back to that. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Thankfully, when our time comes before the seat of our Savior, it won't be about perfection, but practice and participation, practicing righteousness, participating in the body of Christ. But as you can clearly see, our first and foremost created purpose priority is to learn to love the Lord. And a close second that is just like it is to learn to love people. And guess which is easier? Loving the Lord is far easier than loving people. Because have you met them? But why is the second like the first? Oh, that is a good question. And there's a great answer in Scripture. It is because the entire law, including loving the Lord with all you've got, is actually summed up in a single command: to love your neighbor as yourself. You know why? Because ain't no way you'll truly attempt, let alone succeed, to truly love others unless and until you are truly sold out on loving the Lord. Because that's where you get your motivation and the strength to push through, right? So let's put the transcripts down for a minute and play a little pretend. And if you've looked ahead, then you don't get to play. But let's say if I gave you a couple Q-tips and some clay and then gave you 30 seconds to build a little church, which I actually considered doing, but it was just too much. So we're doing it. We're going to just imagine it. What would you design? What kind of little church would you build? And so what I want to do is I'm going to give you a few seconds to go ahead and make one in your mind. Hold your hands out in front of you. Picture the Q-tips and the clay. And take about 10 seconds. I want you to make a little church.
Is it supposed to be 3D or flat?
3D. You can make it 3D or flat. Teacher's pet. You can make it whatever you want. As long as it's perfect. Okay, but now. Okay, make your little church. Make your little church building. Okay, you got it? Got it? Okay, now here's the question. You got to be honest. Did you imagine something like this little structure right here? Raise your hand. Anything? Okay. Or was it like this little servant right here? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you did not answer either one of those? Raise your hands. What did you make? Because the church, I don't even want to know. The church is a body, not a building. right? And if yours looked like, where are you going? If yours looked like Jesus, you're a bit of an overachiever. There she goes. And it's in 3D. But together, we form the body of Christ, right? I really am curious what you guys made, if it didn't look like a person or a place. That's what our Jesus mosaic over there is all about. That's what we hope that communicates. That's why there's a plaque. If you've ever noticed, there's a plaque on the bottom of the picture that says, be part of the big picture at His place. So that's the question. Are you part of the big picture? That's what makes up that. Are you part of the big picture on this little corner of God's kingdom? Because the members of His family belong to each other the same way the members of your body, like your nose and ears and arms and legs, are connected and reliant and, boy do I know, subject to one another. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, who are many, form one big body. And each member, have you ever noticed this? Belongs not to the church. Each member belongs to all the others. That's what it means to join and belong. It's to people. So exactly who do you belong to? Where are you investing your talents? Whose faith do you encourage and strengthen? Whose secrets do you know? And who knows yours? And who will call you when disaster strikes or a loved one dies? My heart, read this translation with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. But how many of you are that familiar with 1 John 3:16, which says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life, His one and only mortal life for us. And so we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So you'd have both those right in the forefront of your mind. John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, what Jesus did and what we do. Because we are called, we are created and called to not just believe, but to belong and bond with those for whom He laid down His life. Because His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family. Isn't that a great scripture? That's His unchanging plan. That's what's going on here. This is such a vital aspect of our created purpose. Because we weren't just created. We were formed, we're told, and fashioned for His family. In fact, you can see throughout scripture, our Father knitting His people together to build a family who will love and honor Him and each other and live together forever. That's the hope and the promise. You, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Hold that thought, because you are members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with, of course, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in which the whole structure, this whole living structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple. That's us. This is His body. We're the living stones. We're growing into a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you also, on this little corner of the cornerstone's eternal kingdom, you also are being built together. Part of it. Into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Or do you not know that your church body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? And you are not your own. We belong to each other. When we're born, We cannot grow and develop without the support and care of a nurturing family. Same goes when we're reborn, and that growth doesn't end till the throne. We got to have rock solid relationships, because you're no angel. But Christ makes the whole body fit together perfectly, but only as each imperfect part does its own special work. And that own special work might include irritating you. It does its own special work because that's the only way it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You see, our walk with God is personal, but it's not private. We confuse those two things. It is not a private thing at all, but it is a very personal thing. You know why? Because our Father comes with a family. And you know what family's like, right? And just as an arm cannot fulfill its own special work if it's dismembered, neither can we. Neither can you. Neither can I. So I'm going to give you maybe the most nauseating, horrifying, perfect example I have ever used in a sermon. I will give you warnings before I show pictures. But back in 1997, a mass tug of war took place in Taipei. Over 800 men on both sides, 800 and 800 on opposing ends of a 2-inch nylon rope capable of withstanding 57,000 pounds of force. But turns out 1,600 men produce over 3 times that. And 2 of the men, I assume the ones on the ends, wrapped the rope around their arms. Oh, you see what's coming. Yeah, and, you know, go. And the rope went and snapped. 2-inch nylon rope. The recoil was so... It just instantly severed their arms. I've clouded the picture here. You can get the idea. It's a very gruesome news photo, but it makes an incredible biblical point. So if you're squeamish, now's the time to look away. Okay, fair warning, because here it is. Just look at that for a moment. Feel how you're feeling. Think of how you're feeling right this moment. Okay, that's enough. Go back to the old. Okay, think how you're feeling, because I want to ask, why is this so disturbing? And it's a simple answer. Because it's so wrong. It's so wrong. Because limbs aren't supposed to ever be disconnected from a body. The limb quickly dies and withers away, and the body is left crippled. And how you feel looking at that, this is how upsetting it must be to Jesus and should be to us whenever we see a believer described as a limb, as an arm, detached from what's described as his body, which is you. Because he fervently warns and implores all of his limbs to remain in me. Remain in me as I also remain in you. I'm the one with the lifeblood. Because I am the vine, he says. I am the vine and you are the branches. You're the limbs. So if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Now, remain in my love. So, I mean, it's just sad that these have to be commands. Because it sounds like Christmas morning, really. You know, remain in my love so that my joy may be in you all and that our joy may be complete. Love each other as I have loved you, because that's how you remain in me as I remain in you. This is my command. Love each other. That's Jesus' command. That's it. He's only really got the one. Therefore, woe to him who strives with him who formed him. It's a lot of hymns. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? I don't like this church. I don't like these people. There's a church full of hypocrites. Yeah, news flash. Every group in the world has always been full of hypocrites because we're hypocrites. That's just what it means to be human. We're all growing. So the real argument is, does the clay say to the one forming it, what are you making? But look at this. God says, well, will you command me? Or, you know, the idea is, or submit to my command concerning my children and the work of my hands. Well, I want to submit. Okay, then. Do not neglect to attend your assemblies, as some do, but rather encourage one another, especially since you see the day approaching. You know, I made a comment to a fellow follower I bumped into at a buffet earlier this week, a gal, and we were just chatting on, hadn't seen each other forever. And boy, time flies, we're just getting older. And she said, Bruce, we're not getting older, we're getting nearer. Oh, I'd never heard it before. And I said, I'm totally stealing that for Sunday. I that's great. We're not getting older, we're getting nearer. See, we know that. That's the especially you, because you see the day approaching. Remember, every commandment there may be is summed up in this one rule. There's only one rule, just one. And when we stand before the Lord, what happens if he says to you, so how'd you do with the only rule, the one rule? The one rule I gave, what had you? Because if you say, what was that rule again? It's not going to go well. One rule, love your neighbor as yourself. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. You go, wait, I thought I already had salvation. No, you're still down here. Salvation is when he takes us home. You know, and time goes fast. It says the night is nearly over down here, and the day is almost here when you'll wake up there. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness, or the deeds of the down here deeds, right? And put on the upstairs armor of light, because your love practiced here, your love for one another, not a love for a building or a doctrine or a denomination or a tradition, your love for other people, imperfect as we all are, will prove to the world down here that you are my disciples. Because people are hard to love. That's just the truth. But limbs need a body, and a body needs limbs. So don't buy the enemy's lie that you don't need to really commit to any corner of the cornerstone's kingdom. You may feel more virtuous when no one's close enough to frustrate you, but that, my friends, is just a virtual virtuousness. Which is why Christ commands us to have close fellowship with irritating, frustrating, imperfect people like ourselves, in order to develop the discipline of loving them as he loves us. So let us, you and I, let us consider how we may spur one another on. And I like the word spur is not a nice word. Spur. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Like our ministry fair. We did that with the ministry fair. Let us not give up meeting together. So easy to fool ourselves into thinking we're spiritually mature, when in reality there's just no one challenging us or spurring us on. Which is why we are called to love real people, not ideal people. Plus, ideal people don't exist. And if they do, they're just big phonies. And oh, the devil must delight in withering, dismembered limbs that are detached from Christ's command. What are the dying? It's such an obvious but good example. What do the dying want to be surrounded by in their final moments? Money, trophies, books. You know the answer, right? We all know the answer. Family, friends, and loved ones. In our final minutes, if we're cognizant, we're finally ready to receive our final lesson before we go before the throne. And that is the utter realization that life was all about relationships. So I say, why wait till it's too late? Let's calculate how we're spending our pre-deathbed minutes right now. And we're going to do that. So I need you to come up with a number. Ideally, but realistically, we got to live in the real world, okay? I want to know how many minutes per day, on average, you would like to be able to say up there that you're currently spending down here on praying and praising and just hearing God's word, putting it in your heart, treasuring it up, and giving and getting spiritual support from others, and sharing meaningful moments with family and friends, and serving or helping others in the name of Christ. I just want you to give yourself a number, realistically, but ideally, how many minutes per day for all of that would you like to give? Come up with a number. Remember, there's 60 minutes in an hour, if that helps. But I want you to come up with a number. How many minutes a day would you like to be able to say up there that you spent down here on all of those things? Minutes per day. Give you 5 more seconds. Okay, do you all have a number? Okay. Because each day we are given 1,440 minutes of life to spend however we like. So how are you actually spending them? Because first, we should deduct like 8 hours for sleep and another 8 for housework, schoolwork, yard work, and or vocational work, right? So we're left with 480 minutes per day. But if you deduct an hour for bathroom time, you know, the whole personal care regimen, getting ready, I'll tell you right now, yesterday, that's where I was out. I was out of minutes right there. But you take away an hour, let's say an hour a day, bathroom, I'm being conservative. Hour for bathroom time, an hour for eating, an hour for driving and running errands, only 300 minutes remain per day. You watch one movie, it drops to 180 minutes. And that gets divided between sports, whether you're playing or watching, and of course hobbies, and TV, that's my downfall, TV, and gaming, I know some of you, that's your downfall, and reading, and recreation, fishing, hunting, all of those things, and exercising, and shopping, and phone time. I'm just asking you to do the math, just do the math. And ask yourself if you're spending your time wisely. Because we're all in this together and we each will have to answer for how we fill our time. And so why wouldn't we do everything we could to live a life filled with love? Following the example of Christ. Because he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, which was a pleasing aroma to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, writes Paul, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept, the kind that smells good and doesn't stink, the pleasing aroma. And look how it ends. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Because I'll tell you, it sure won't seem so up there. But sadly, down here, when our calendar gets crowded, we cut back on all things eternal, don't we? For which we will give an account, and for which we will be overjoyed if we can give a good answer. So don't let the urgent detach you from the important. But here's the thing. Because of our busy schedules, when we choose to give our time, we are sacrificing our life, literally. Time is your life, and we only get a set amount of minutes. Unlike giving your money, which I'm not discouraging, You can't make more time. So what will you have to say when you're asked how you spent the time of your life on all things eternal? Because I'm here to tell you, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. No. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So I plead with you, keep your eyes on the prize by keeping in mind that we're called to belong to his body. Because we're being formed for and as his family. Because life is all about love, period. So I guess my point with the calculator is squeeze it in. Squeeze it in wherever you can. Because whenever we make time for something, we make a living sacrifice. There it is. And sacrifice is the essence of love. And love, turns out, is the command of Christ. Because love is the point of, well, everything. Everything. So let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you and commit ourselves to your eternal family. Holy Spirit, keep us focused on making every minute count down here. And Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for remaining in us through thick and thin. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.